Welcome to the Sports Zone on WHRULP 101.5 FM Huntley Community Radio. I am your host, Anthony Collada, and we've got another show for you guys this week. After our brief break last week, we start off this week's show with some XFL news. This is a new football league that has been adopted this year. Dwayne Johnson took over the ownership rights a couple of years ago after Vince McMahon of the WWE owned it several years back. The league has made a return, and we have history in the very first week of the season, but not necessarily the history that this specific player was looking for, as the Orlando Guardians quarterback Paxton Lynch. For any of you guys familiar, Paxton Lynch was a former first-round pick back in 2016 of the Denver Broncos. One of those guys that the Broncos were looking to try to fill that void of Peyton Manning. Never really worked out for Paxton Lynch in Denver. Well, it just doesn't seem to really work out for Lynch anywhere he goes, as he was benched on Sunday in the Orlando Guardians game against the Houston Roughnecks. And benching is not a new a new theory to this guy, as he has now become the first player that to be benched in the NFL, the USFL, which came out like 2 or 3 years ago, the Canadian Football League, and now the XFL. He has been benched in 4 separate football leagues. Now, that's almost impressive, but it's like at some point everyone's got to realize that this guy just might not have it, unfortunately. I mean, here, you see why he still keeps getting these chances. He was a pretty solid quarterback in college. He's got great size. He's got good arm strength. Former first-round pick. You know, obviously there's something there, but obviously if that many coaches can't pinpoint what the problem is and how to fix it, you know, eventually you're going to see yourself out of all of these leagues. And, you know, if you're benching the very first game, that clearly tells you that your leash wasn't that long as a quarterback, and, you know, the coach had seen enough, and he threw one really bad interception, and that was the end of it. I don't expect him to really pick up another starting job there or anywhere else. I mean, here, nothing against the XFL. I'm actually super excited to watch it this year, but, you know, you've missed out on the NFL, the USFL, the CFL, and now the XFL. Your chances here are kind of running out here. So, unfortunately for Paxton Lynch, but it's just one of those stats that it's like, wow, you've been benched in 4 separate leagues. That's kind of crazy to me. But as we kind of take a look at this XFL, I mentioned it's the first season with Dwayne The Rock Johnson as the owner. And if you recall Dwayne Johnson, he played at Miami. He made an NFL career, tried to make an NFL career. I think he ended up playing maybe a couple seasons. Never really had an impact, but football has always been something that he's loved, always been a part of. And to, you know, he's a big businessman too. So when you see the money in football and then, you know, with his passion, now you start bringing some other people around you to help build this business. And now you actually get an entire football league. This league is made up of 8 teams, and they will play 43 games in total. And in these week one matchups this week, you had the Arlington Renegades defeating the Vegas Vipers 22-20. The Houston Roughnecks beat the Orlando Guardians 33-12. In that game, Lynch was benched. The St. Louis Battlehawks defeated the San Antonio Brahmas, and that's a big game that we're going to touch on here in a second. And the DC Defenders defeated the Seattle Dragons 22-18. So there's your 8 teams. And before I get into that one specific game between St. Louis and San Antonio, I want to make you guys aware of some of the different rules that are in the XFL as opposed to your traditional rules in the NFL. So a big one, it's always been a topic in the NFL as well, is the kickoffs. You know, a lot of teams, or the NFL, trying to eliminate the head-on, full-speed collision that you see on kickoffs. So the XFL's take on the kickoff rule is they separate the teams 5 yards apart. You have the kicking team on the receiving team's 35, so across the 50, and then you line the receiving team up 5 yards at the 30. You kick it off to the return man deep. So it's a 35-yard kick, but you can't have anyone but the kicker and the return guy move until the ball is caught. So what that does is it eliminates the running start. We saw that eliminated in the NFL several years ago. Well, now you're also cutting down an extra 40 yards of a running start. And then, you know, you're cutting off the extra probably 10 to 20 from the blockers. And you're eliminating just the momentumous force that is the collision at the end. So that's how they do it with the kickoff rules. So we're still trying to see kind of how we can keep a kickoff as part of football, but trying to eliminate how dangerous they are. The scoring is also a little bit different. Standard 6-point touchdown, but there's no more field goals, which I'm sure a lot of people watching the NFL are probably thanking their lucky stars for that one after all the debacles that we've seen from these kickers the last couple of years. So after you score the touchdown, you have three different choices. You can go for 1 point, and that's right from the 2-yard line. You get 1 point from there. You can go for 2 points, that'd be from the 5-yard line, or you could go for 3 points from the 10-yard line. So something new there in the XFL. And then how to keep the ball. So, you know, in the NFL, after you score, it's a kickoff or, you know, maybe an onside kick to try to get the ball back when you're losing. Well, that is still, you know, the technical rules of the XFL. You can still go for a traditional onside kick at any point in the game. But a new rule that the XFL has implemented is in the fourth quarter only, as long as you're losing, you score a touchdown. Rather than go for an onside kick, you can try for a 4th-and-15 conversion from your own 25-yard line. So if you pick up the 4th-and-15, you get a fresh set of downs right there. You get the ball back. So all of those rules, I wanted to give you guys those first to explain this situation in the St. Louis and San Antonio game. So as I mentioned, the score finished 18-15. Well, San Antonio was up on the scoreboard 15-3 with only a minute and a half left in the game. St. Louis, they went down, they scored a touchdown, made it 15-9. They decided to go for the 3-point conversion from the 10-yard line. That was successful, making it a 15-12 game. So then, rather than do an onside kick with a minute and 30 left, you know the odds on an onside kick, you're not really likely to get it. They went for the 4th-and-15. They got it. So now they get the ball back, figure minute and 15 or so left, and then they go score another touchdown. Now they win 18-15. So it was essentially a 15-point swing in a minute and a half because of the way the rules changed with the kickoffs, with the going for 3 points and all that. So it's interesting. When you first watch it, I was a lot of different sports on Sunday. There wasn't really any one thing that I was watching. You know, so I was watching that, and, you know, you figure 1:30 left in the game, it's a 12-point game. It's over. So I turned it off. I come back to look, and it's a 3-point game, and St. Louis is about to score. And what happened here? So it's one of those things that's going to keep you engaged. It's really going to make it so the game isn't over until it's over, which, here, it's kind of adopting the strategy in baseball that is not as much of a time. Yes, it's still timed, but you have to make more plays in order to lead yourself to victory. You don't just get to take the ball and knee it out. So you're going to see a lot less quarterback kneels, a lot more action in the XFL with some of these rules being implemented. Like I said, I think I'm excited to watch the XFL. I mean, here, when you can watch football year-round, really what's there to go wrong there? So definitely something to keep an eye out for as this XFL season goes on. I will try to stay on top of it as much as I can and keep some updates going every week with that as well. I did want to backtrack a little bit to last week as I didn't get a chance to talk about the Super Bowl. I won't go too in-depth, as it's already been a week and a half since the game. But Kansas City, they beat the Eagles 38-35. It was a good game. I honestly think that this Super Bowl is going to go down in for the next 10 years as a top 5 Super Bowl, you know, because it was that good. I think you had maybe 3 or 4 punts. You had a defensive touchdown. You had a defensive touchdown called back. You had a couple big close penalties that, you know, yeah, they kind of decided the game. But here, you're going to get controversy in big games. And, you know, that's okay. Philly, they controlled the first half. Kansas City, they came out after halftime. They made their adjustments, and Patrick Mahomes became Patrick Mahomes. Andy Reid, you know, was Andy Reid, and the Chiefs offense figured it out. Defense, they stood up in the second half and were able to shut down the Eagles offense. And Kansas City went on to win their second Super Bowl in like 3 or 4 years. And, you know, big note here, Patrick Mahomes, I know he's only in season 7. Really, it's season 6 because he sat out that first year. But he's already, going to start giving Tom Brady a run for his money. I mean, here, he's been to the AFC Championship, if not the Super Bowl, like every single year he's started. He's now a 2-time MVP, a 2-time Super Bowl winner, and a 2-time Super Bowl MVP. And he's not even 30 years old yet. So you look at that. Now you look at Brady, who's at like 7 Super Bowls, several MVPs. Obviously, there's still a long way to go. But you look at the career trajectories. Mahomes is right there with Brady. And then you add on to all those regular season touchdowns and yards that he has. Those are higher than Brady's numbers. So obviously, a long career is still the GOAT in order to catch Brady. But I think Patrick Mahomes has done everything that you can to the start of a career in order to put yourself in that conversation. So definitely something to keep looking at as Mahomes' career continues to progress. I think it was a match made in heaven with Andy Reid, who now has 2 Super Bowl rings. I think it was just a good pairing there, a quarterback whisperer with a guy that he has all the skills, all the intangibles, but he was very raw coming out of college. That's why you see him that 1 year, he took that year off, learned a lot from Andy Reid, learned a lot from Alex Smith. And now when it was his time to get into the starting lineup, he was ready, and he took the reins and just ran with it. So, you know, kudos to the Chiefs. They won it again. And I got to say, I'm hoping for, you know, a big offseason here for a lot of the different teams, because I am starting to get a little tired of the Kansas City Chiefs. Like I said, they're starting to get into that Tom Brady New England Patriots territory. You know, they've been there every single year. Let's start to see some competition. But here, you know, the Eagles, it was a great game that they played in the first half. Here, you can make the argument, oh, the refs on the one call on Goddard or on Smith down the right sideline, or, you know, the biggest one of the game on James Bradbury holding Juju Smith. Here, all the players, even Bradbury said, yes, I held him. Like, all the players, nope, it's on us. You know, it's not the field conditions. It's not us slipping around. They've got to play in the same field. It's not the refs. They had calls against them. And so here, the Eagles players, the coaches, they took it very humbly. It was a great way that they handled the loss, but because they're right, when it comes down to it, you need to make the plays, and they just didn't quite make enough of them. Chiefs won the game. So good. It was a good finish to the end of the season. So now we just got to wait until the offseason starts. We got the draft coming up in a couple of weeks. Free agency is going to kick off soon. And the offseason, it'll be upon us as the season's just ended. So NFL news is not going away, just taking a little bit of a break. As we kick over to another quick note about last week, is the NFL or the NBA trade deadline was finalized with some big moves, as we did end up seeing a Kevin Durant trade, as he was traded from Brooklyn to the Phoenix Suns. So now Kevin Durant pairs up with Chris Paul, Devin Booker, and the Suns were even able to keep their center DeAndre Ayton. So they were able to keep their top 3 players and then add a top 3 player in the NBA to their roster. So now I think Chris Paul's got his best chance to ever win a finals. I think this is his only chance. You know, at this point, I think he's got this year, maybe one more after this before he retires. So, you know, with KD on the Suns, this is his chance. And we'll see kind of what happens with the Suns. Only knock on the Suns was they had to get rid of Bridges. But you take that trade, you take Mikal Bridges for Kevin Durant every day and twice on Sunday. The Lakers, they're right outside the bubble right now, trying to make that playoff picture, trying to get into the play-in tournament. And I do think they got better. None of these moves are really going to jump out at you on paper. But when you look at their roster, look at how it's constructed, and look at what they've got. So they got D'Angelo Russell to fill that starting point guard position. They didn't have a point guard that can shoot and facilitate. Now they've got one in Russell. They've got Malik Beasley, who probably going to come off the bench, but he's a great 3-point shooter, good defensive guy. So a role player there to kind of fill that void. Mo Bamba. They needed a backup center. Anthony Davis has been out. They've been running Thomas Bryant out there for a while, who, you know, he's been solid, but he doesn't play great defense. Now you get Mo Bamba, who's over 7 feet, plays defense. He can score it a little bit. Athletic, young guy, so another player there. And then they get Jared Vanderbilt, who, another very solid defensive guy, can hit a couple of three-pointers here and there. So you start to see how they're filling out this roster around LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Obviously, Davis is going to have to be healthy for them to go anywhere, but when you look at LeBron, it's the same thing every single year. What does LeBron need around him? He needs shooters, and he needs a guy that will be able to take the ball out of his hands on occasions and facilitate the offense. So now you've got Beasley and Vanderbilt and shooters. You've got Russell, who can facilitate without the ball being in LeBron's hands. Now you've actually got a lineup here. You added Rui Hachimura a week or two before the actual trade deadline. So you're filling out this roster and getting LeBron his help. Now if AD stays healthy, you might really see a playoff push coming out of the Lakers. The Toronto Raptors finally got a big man. The Raptors roster is kind of confusing to me almost. As you look at them, they've got their two guards at like 6'4", so actually taller guards. And then your 3 through 5 guys were all 6'7". It was like Scottie Barnes, Precious Achiuwa, and Pascal Siakam were all 6'7". So you didn't really have a true center there. You're playing Siakam at the center. Well, you finally make a trade with the Spurs and get Jakob Poeltl, who's now over 7 feet, can rebound the basketball. He's a big defensive presence in there. And now you're able to take all those guys that were kind of playing one out of position, you're able to bump them back. So now you have a huge lineup with 2 6'7" guys, a 7-footer, and your two big guards with a guy coming off the bench now. So the Raptors get deeper in a big position in need as they're still jockeying within that actual playoff push. They're out of that playoff picture in that top six. So trying to stay up in the ranks in the Eastern Conference there. And then my finals pick, the Los Angeles Clippers, added a lot of role players to their roster. They added Bones Highland from the Denver Nuggets, who, very talented guard. I don't know why the Nuggets were trying to get rid of him. I think he was looking for a little bit of a bigger role. Not really sure what it was there, but very talented young player there that the Clippers get that can score at will. They get a big shooting guard, Eric Gordon from the Houston Rockets, who, you know, he could shoot the ball from about anywhere behind the 3-point line. So another guy there that the Clippers are able to facilitate out from George and Kawhi Leonard, take a little bit of that pressure off of them. They do add a big man to back up Ivica Zubac and Mason Plumlee, as they got him from the Charlotte Hornets. And then news just on Monday that Russell Westbrook, once he is bought out by the Utah Jazz, will also be joining the Clippers and reuniting with Paul George, who was his running mate in Oklahoma City years ago. And then another quick move that the Atlanta Hawks added a shooter, forward, Sadiq Bey from the Pistons. The Pistons is this guy that, you know, he could shoot it. He struggled a little bit this year. He's got good size. He could play a little bit of defense. It just, there was something there that the Pistons were just like, eh. You know, they didn't see his potential, or maybe they thought that he had maxed that out already. Either way, they were able to, you know, unload that guy and get a couple, you know, young players, a pick or two from the Hawks. The Hawks add another 3-and-D guy, so they continue to fill out their roster around Trae Young and DeJounte Murray. We had the NBA All-Star break this past weekend as we get back up to current times, and it was the Mac McClung show as he won the NBA dunk contest. And his first dunk, he jumped over one guy who was on the shoulders of another guy. Now, that's crazy enough in and of itself, right? Well, he also, as he was in midair, jumping over the guy, he grabs the ball, hits it against the backboard, and then dunks it. You know how high you have to be in the air and how long you have to be in the air to be able to jump over two people, hit the ball on the backboard, and still put it in? I mean, that alone probably should have won him the dunk contest. Well, he wasn't done there. He followed that one up with a 520-degree spinning dunk. Aren't you dizzy by the time you come down from that? Like, again, Do you know how long you have to stay in the air to spin 520 degrees and still dunk a basketball? I mean, that's 10 feet in the air. Crazy. And this guy is not even 6 foot. He's jumping that high, spinning in the air, jumping over people. It's crazy. In the three rounds of the dunk contest, out of a maximum of 150 points, so 350-point rounds, he scored 149.8. I just want to know who gave him the 49.8. Really? Come on. What's the point, too, that you possibly were taking away from him to not give him the perfect score? Whatever it was, one of the best dunk contests that we've seen since the likes of LaVine and Aaron Gordon, and then obviously going back to the days of Jordan, Wilkins, all those guys. Finally saw some fireworks, some excitement in the dunk contest again, because it just seems like every year it's kind of one of those hit or miss things. Damian Lillard, he won the three-point contest. He really didn't have to do a whole lot. He needed 20 points to win the first round. Easy. Got that. You needed 25 in the second round in order to kind of win it and outbeat a couple of other guys who scored way low. He got 26, so he got exactly what he needed to do. Damian Lillard comes home with the trophy. He continues to have a fantastic season shooting the ball. And then the All-Star game on Sunday. We don't need to get into this a whole lot because, like Michael Malone said, the coach for the Nuggets, it was one of the worst basketball games ever played. And I agree 100% because you get these guys, they go out there and, yeah, you see some dunks, you see some windmills and some long passes, but there's not a lick of defense going on. It's like a revolving door. It's, oh, hey, you want to dribble? You take two steps down the lane. The defenders just back away, let you get a free run to the basket. It's a joke. I mean, I get it. It's for the fans. You know, you get the players. They get their break. They get to show out, and, you know, they get their awards and whatever. But can we see a little bit of effort on the defensive side of the ball? I mean, even at 60 or 70%, you're NBA players, you're not risking that big of injuries. Like, they were at 40%, if that. I mean, come on. So, you know, whatever. It's the same thing every year. Jason Tatum, he did actually end up setting an all-star record with points. He scored 55 on his way to the MVP. I probably could have scored 55 with the defense out there. Just going to say that. But, yeah, that was the all-star game. It's the same thing every year. It's just a joke, but... You know, good for the players, good for all the fans and all the celebrities to come together. Granted, you know, it was in Utah. I know Shaquille O'Neal wasn't real happy about that. They asked him, well, what'd you do in Salt Lake City? Shaq said that he had never eaten so much room service before. And you know Shaq, he's a big dude. I'm sure he's getting room service like every time he goes somewhere, like, you know, late night something. When even Shaq is saying that he's eating the most room service, there's nothing to do in Utah. So... Overall, you know, it's one of those things. It's the All-Star game, and now you're not in the greatest of cities with, you know, a nightlife and all that. A little bit of a lackadaisical, but again, you know, it's for the fans. It's for the players to just kind of be able to take a break, be honored a little bit as as they make their final push towards the playoffs. We do have a couple of quick pointers around Chicago. Not great news to start. I mean, it's basically the same news, though. Lonzo Ball still can't run, still can't cut. They're expecting him to be shut down in the next coming days after this All-Star break. I mean, it's just one of those things that you've had eight or so doctors take a look at this guy, and none of them can figure anything out. I mean, at some point, you have to at least begin to think it might just be a mental block that you're worried that you go out there and you don't trust it, so now you're trying to dial it back or whatever, and that's only going to lead to more injuries if you're not going 100%. I mean, it's the same idea around Derrick Rose, is why he took almost a year and a half off with that torn ACL, is that it is a mental block. You know, you rip up your knees, you're a little bit scared to go back out there. It's just, you know, when you fork over 4 years, I think it was like $64 million to this guy, you got to see him out there on the court. So I expect him to be shut down. Hopefully over the off season, they're able to magically find what the problem is and he can return next year. I doubt it. Maybe the NBA will give you some insurance money back or something on this guy. Who knows? But yeah, Lonzo, I don't expect to see him again this year. Chicago Bears, though, a little bit of a more positive note, they actually closed on the purchase of the 326-acre property of Arlington Park. So this is the next step in building a new stadium for the Chicago Bears. I do think it's time. We've talked about it before. It's hard to get to Soldier Field. There's, you know, stadium's old. It's run down. It's getting to be about time. Get a fresh start for a franchise that needs one. And then to close it out real quick is the viral catch that DK Metcalf had this weekend. It's just some Instagram video. A guy throws the ball, you know, up, and DK Metcalf jumps up. It's at least 10 feet. There was no measurement, whatever. He jumps up and he catches it one-handed, fully, you know, stretched out. It looks like he's 20 feet in the air. It's, you know, obviously it's hard to tell with angles and whatever, but he was up there. And then you get him dunking in the Friday Celebrity All-Star game. Funniest part about all of it was the fact that the NFL texted him on Sunday, "Hey, we need you to come in for a drug test." This guy's jumping like crazy, and now they have to drug test him. And this isn't the first time that, like, an athlete will do something, like, crazy athletic or something, and then immediately the league comes back. It's like, okay, yep, something's not right here. Obviously, I doubt that is the case, but it's just one of those things that it's like, amazing catch. He was way up there, and it's like, whoa, okay, hang on, pause. You need a drug test. So just a little funny note there as we wrap up this show. Make sure you guys stay tuned for next week. We've got the NBA playoff push. We're 59 games in an 82-game season, so we got 23 games left. We got the NFL offseason with the draft, the free agency. We got some coaches hiring and moving around, and then I'm going to try to stay on top of the XFL. So stay tuned next week for the Sports Zone.